At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
It's a great pleasure to welcome Charles Gasparino. Charlie Gasparino, my colleague for many years, decades even. He is at Fox News. He is often in the news because of breaking stories on Wall Street. These are exciting moments. We're at the edge of the new AI world. At the same time, we're dealing with what Charlie's writing about in his new book, Go Woke, Go Broke, the inside story of the radicalization of corporate America, which comes down to a series of acronyms we will attend. But the big one is ESG. The book takes us to a search for the origins. And I congratulate Charlie, because it hadn't occurred to me that I had to find the place where it all started. Today, ESG is understood as, the French word is passé. However, it's still with us politically, if not on the street. Charlie, congratulations. This is a joy to read. It's much reporting over the years, and it's a way of telling the madness of these last 4 years since the pandemic struck. But it's still with us in some fashion. So we begin with the search for origins. And we're talking about ESG, DEI, and the understanding that America is not acceptable in its present form. Where do you believe it started in corporate America, on the publicly traded companies that are sensitive to the population? Good evening to you, Charlie.
Thanks for having me, John. Yeah, and corporate America's sort of willing embrace of that notion and becoming a foot soldier in the movement to take the country to a progressive destination. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that corporate America tried to go there in immense ways. It's now failing at it because corporations do have to answer to somebody called the American people and their money. And people are voting with their pocketbooks against this. And we can go through the various examples. But, you know, I tried to answer a couple things. First off, I tried to make this a funny book to show how stupid and counterproductive and horrifying corporate wokeness is when it manifests itself. But, you know, where did it begin? How did we get to a place where asset managers, like big investment companies, which are very powerful, like BlackRock and Vanguard, people where the people say, use your investment money to try to get their portfolio companies, the companies they invest in, to enact progressive change, to use ESG, environmental social governance sort of notions of running their business, where they have to cut back the carbon footprint. Even if you're an oil company, you know, stop drilling for oil, have DEI, essentially racial quotas in management, and you know, give money to Black Lives Matter, which essentially checks a couple boxes on the ESG scale. You know, where did that come from? How did that become such a big thing before the backlash, which the last quarter of the book is about the backlash? How did DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion? I mean, we started out with affirmative action where, you know, if you're a poor Black guy, you know, we're going to try to get you, or a woman, we're going to try to give you a chance. We're going to try to do outreach. We're going to try to like make the world more diverse. You know, there's lots of evidence on how this worked over the years. How do we go from there, from this sort of regimented, you know, quasi-Stalinist system, which says you have to do this, you can't hire any more white people in this job, a coal miner's daughter is put to the back of the line for some dude from South America because that hits more DEI metrics of intersectionality, which is another term about the notion that, you know, you're graded on the basis of how many of these oppressed classes you represent as a person. If you're a gay white male, you're behind a gay white female. You're probably behind a Black female. I mean, this is just how it goes. And, you know, how did corporate America embrace this stuff that, you know, was sort of like a backbenchers sort of, theory back in college. And, you know, it's slow, but it did happen. You know, it becomes like most utopian notions. It has utopian aspirations to make the world a better place. I covered it in when I was at the Wall Street Journal in 1995, something known as socially responsible investing. Again, it was very backwater, but it started to sort of pick up. You would see it, the UN pick up on this sort of social responsibility investing and then start talking about this thing called ESG, which started to come out of the UN. And then it started getting big in places like Davos, where people were actually talking about it. You also had an evolution of who was in the boardroom. I mean, gone were the old tough guys like Jack Welch, and a new, more progressive era of CEOs came in there that were inculcated with, you know, more progressive notions at big schools. You know, I go through them. Jeff Immelt, who took over for Jack Welch at GE, Jamie Dimon, Larry Fink, Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan, Larry Fink at BlackRock, which was a huge purveyor of ESG. So you have a sort of political shift in the boardroom, and then you have certain flashpoints which push corporate wokeness in all the manifestations I mentioned, DEI, ESG, you name it. And one flashpoint was clearly the 2008 financial crisis, which a huge wave of populism. There was conservative populism in the Tea Party, but they were more focused on the Fed and, you know, printing of money and debasing the currency. But then you had a sort of liberal progressive populism that best sort of demonstrated by what went down in Zuccotti Park in New York City with Occupy Wall Street. And that had real resonance with the political class in Washington and an emerging class of progressive lawmakers like Barack Obama, Elizabeth Warren, who were going to use the tools of government to enforce, you know, progressive change in the boardroom. They were threatening it. You know, Obama threatened to nationalize the banks. Elizabeth Warren wanted to, you know, get rid of, you know, if she had her druthers, she'd probably put every CEO in jail after the financial crisis. Hearings ensued. And you really saw this sort of thing where, you know, it was almost a cover your backside notion where companies started to politically parrot the left right around that point as a form of protection, I think. Now, what was fascinating about it is that there were a few smart companies, you know, like GE went big in solar and windmills, which didn't do much for the bottom line. GE, as you know, is a shell of itself now. It's selling itself off. It's not the GE of Jack Welch. It blew up when it went this way under his successor, Jeff Immelt. But some places figured out how to make money, and that's where BlackRock comes in and figured out that, hey, this ESG thing, we can make a lot of money doing this. We can virtue signal as we invest people's money by attracting trillions of dollars of money from public pension funds, from Europe, which has gone very woke in its, you know, European sovereign wealth funds. And we can, and even individual investors that want to, like, save the planet as they invest. And given their size, you know, $10 trillion, they became this sort of hammer in the woke corporate ecosystems. They could literally tell Exxon what to do. Go more into windmills, less into oil exploration. And they made a lot of money doing it. And I spent a lot of time talking with Larry Fink, the CEO, who had the, you know, he had the guts to come and explain his side of the story. What was interesting about Larry, I think, and I think he kind of, in many ways, tells the story of how we got from, you know, corporate America making money to you know, worry about the shareholder capitalism, to what's known as stakeholder capitalism, where you try to make the world a better place through these various means of ESG, DEI. You know, his whole thing, it's not pure evil. I mean, people try to frame him as being pure evil. It's not. It's a mixture of incentives. Yes, he is politically progressive. Yes, he wanted to make a lot of money. Yes, he did want to make the world a better place. And he loved the adulation that came with it. And then something happened. And that's the last part of the book where it sort of unravels for him and all the other people, all the other places that went woke. And it's still unraveling. There's still corporate wokeness. there's still a huge debate. We have a presidential candidate in Kamala Harris who says you got to be woke. Is more woke the better. We'll see if that flies in a presidential race. It clearly hasn't flown, done very well with national brands. I mean, it's one thing to have a niche product. It's another thing to sell to the nation. And wokeness doesn't sell nationwide.
Let's do some definitions, Charlie, because we're using a lot of acronyms, but we have to fill in the blanks. And Larry Fink's a good place to start with those acronyms. I'm speaking to Charles Gasparino. His new book is Go Woke, Go Broke, the inside story of the radicalization of corporate America. It's the story of, as Charlie says, Zuccotti Park was 2011. It's the story of the last decade plus, because it crashes from one crisis, the Great Recession, to the pandemic of the 2020s. And all of the craters that were created all these years are still smoking. And one of them is corporate America's lack of confidence of its future, and also the investors' lack of confidence in some of the CEOs who went woke. So when we come back, the acronyms. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.